Sisters, and I'm founder of the Clean and Tidy Home Show. And on today's tea break, I'm going to be joined by the lovely Claire Flaxon, who looks at mindset strategy, among other things. So we're going to be having a good chat about all things mindset and accepting help, which is our continued theme for this month. So Claire has just joined us, so just bear with me while I get her to join us in picture. Any questions for Claire, comments? You want to let us know how you are? Hopefully Instagram, it's already doing better than it was yesterday, so hopefully I'll be able to see Claire today with any luck. I can see comments and people coming in, so thank you for being here. Claire, how are you?
Hello, I love it when tech works. We got in, no problem.
We got here. Believe it or not though, I can't see you, so I can see comments, I can see people coming in, but Instagram has been doing this to me recently, so I'm just going to have to imagine your lovely face. I'm pleased I've seen you recently, so I'm still... But Claire, quickly for anyone who hasn't had the fortunate opportunity of meeting you, can you just do a quick introduction?
I will happily do a quick introduction, my friend. I'm Claire Flaxon. I am a cognitive behavioural therapist by trade, and I have my own private psychotherapy practice. And I also do mindset training. I focus mainly on female entrepreneurs, founders and creatives. But I love to look at the organisational stuff that you, Penny, do, and the different ways that we can bring in mindset strategies and tools to help us feel happier, less stressed, fulfilling our potential, all of the good stuff, all of the things that we want in life. I help people understand the blocks that are getting in the way and how to shift it and change it.
So I think we sometimes read things or see things or might see a post on Instagram and then we think, okay, right, I'm just going to go off and do that. And it's not that simple, is it, Claire?
And to understand things, it's super useful. But yes, we need to, human nature will always get in our way. We are wired to go back to what's familiar, to what we know, even if we know these things aren't helping us. So it's really important to learn A, practical strategies to change things, but also to get that support to put it into practice, because that's usually where we stumble. It's quite hard. It's not impossible at all, but it is quite hard at the beginning to change and make new habits, or to just to break those familiar ways of how we've been doing things. It can feel vulnerable to do it differently, to put ourselves out there and to change things. And I love the topic of what you're talking about today, because it's such a key one. We do, it's so much easier and we go further when we get support with things, when we ask for some help, and when we learn how to put things into practice rather than just keep it as useful knowledge, but it just stays in our head as a theoretical learning and we don't actually put it into practice.
So why can we find it so hard to ask for help, Claire?
Oh, it's such a mindset minefield, this asking for help. For me, when I'm working with somebody that's struggling to ask for help, or I see it coming up in the online world and we're talking about these things, because it's a really common one, isn't it? Not wanting to ask for help. For me, it boils down to what are the beliefs you're holding behind that about what it means to ask for help? What are the messages you're giving yourself about either how the other person will respond? Like, often people don't want to feel like they're a burden or they're bothering someone, like everyone's got busy lives. We don't want to be, you know, be a nuisance or to add to that burden. All people are carrying messages about themselves and what it means to ask for help. Will that mean that people will see that I'm not as competent as they think I am? Will there be judgment around that? Is there some shame that we feel at having to ask for help? We carry so many messages and beliefs around these things that often we're not even conscious about. So it's really interesting to tune in and go, yeah, what exactly is getting in my way? What's my interpretation of what it means to ask for help, or what will happen if I ask for that help?
So if you were to give us some tips on how we can be better at asking for help, or indeed even once we've asked for it, accepting it, can you talk us through how we might be able to do that a bit better?
That's a classic one, isn't it? When we actually ask for help and then go, oh, no, actually, don't worry about it, it's fine. Don't trouble yourself. And we backtrack really quickly and end up in the same position. So identify, be really honest with yourself and identify and write down what's stopping me asking for help. What am I believing about this? What am I telling myself? And then get a bit curious about why are you thinking that? Have you had experiences in the past that were difficult when you asked for help and you got maybe turned down or the help didn't transpire? So you've got that message of, you know what, it's easier to do it myself. I'll just crack on and do it all myself. And you're protecting yourself from feeling let down or disappointed if you don't get the help exactly as you wanted it or hoped you might get it. Or is it that you are fearing being judged? Like, then dig into that. Ask yourself some more questions. Or why do I think that? Do I know that's true? Have I had some experiences before? What's a different way this could play out? What are there experiences when I have asked for help and it's been quite positive? And then find a way to start testing it out. Like maybe pick someone you trust, and reach out, like deliberately practice asking for help with something that maybe feels less loaded, less important, and test out what actually happens. And a key shifter for most people, when I ask them a simple question, well, how do you feel about giving help to somebody? 9 times out, I don't think I've ever actually met anybody that goes, oh no, I don't like giving help, I won't help anybody. Everybody always goes, no, I'm really happy to. I like it when people ask me to help them, because there's a connection that comes with that, isn't there? There's a sense of somebody letting you in and seeing you as a person they can reach out to. That we feel good when people ask us for help usually. So it's turning that around and going, well, why am I assuming that wouldn't be this be received in the same way? If I'm happy to give help, why assuming that I don't deserve to get to be given help in return? And play around with some different perspective shifts that let you test it out and see what really happens and what it does to your friendships and your relationships when you are vulnerable and you ask for help. Because 9 times out of 10, it leads to a deeper intimacy and a deeper connection when you're letting somebody in that way.
Love that. And we've got a really, really interesting point that's been made in the comments. I find it tough because I ask for help, people say they will and never follow through. So I always think, well, what's the point? So what should we do in that scenario, Claire? Because I'm sure there's lots of people that can relate to that scenario.
Oh, absolutely. And that we don't want to dismiss and to assume that every time we ask for help, we will get it. There are very real examples in people's lives where they've asked for help and they haven't received it. I mean, I would start by looking at, well, what's happening in that scenario? Is it that we are asking people that habitually let us down? In which case, yeah, maybe there are some people that go on the mental list of, I'm not going to ask them for help. It doesn't transpire. So I'm going to actively try and build relationships where I do have that reciprocal support. Maybe I need to find some new friends, or maybe I need to look outside my family. So is it a kind of personal letting down, in which case do you need to build up some new contacts? Or is there something else getting in the way that people mean to, but they're busy and they forget? Are they just caught up in the bombardment of all of their stuff that's coming, and we need to maybe do a little gentle prompt again? Or we need to understand that there's a timing for help as well. There's different types of help, isn't there? There's help we can ask for that we plan in. Like maybe, organizing. I was thinking of my mum right then, going, I know she wants some help organizing some things in her house, trying to clear out stuff. That's not something I can necessarily do on a day when she's thinking about it, but I can happily help her if we plan and book that in. Versus the kind of help where yesterday I had to call a fellow parent because I knew I was going to be late to pick up my daughter, and I had to ring someone and go, could you just hang out at the school gate with her while I make my way? That there's not a given that he'll be able to say yes. It was a dad in this instance that I rang. So I had like maybe 5 or 6 people that I thought in my head I could ring, like widening out that pool and knowing that sometimes people genuinely would like to help. They are just busy with their own stuff as well. It's really easy though, I think, to get caught in that loop of wanting to protect yourself, because it really does feel crushing when you've got the nerve up to ask for help and you feel like you're being let down. So I think that's about looking at a broader sense of what's going on in these relationships. And is there a learned pattern that's developed over time where we start to expect to be let down, and then there's a weird thing that starts happening where we start repeating these patterns completely we're not doing anything wrong, or we're not deliberately doing it. There's a subconscious pattern where we keep finding ourselves back in that same dynamic. So then that's what we look at. We look at the deeper things that are going on with connections, maybe experiences of past relationships. I'm going into deep therapy stuff now, but things that have maybe built up that are getting in the way. But number one point is like, try and find those people that you know are willing to help. Like, even if it's just one person, start with that you can test out a new set of people that might be more available or more willing to help.
I think sometimes it's understanding how important it is to you or them. So for me to say to my husband, for example, would you mind just doing something, rather than saying, I'm really struggling with keeping on top of this at the moment. I would really, really like it if you could. Do you know what I mean? There's different ways of asking for help to, in terms of sharing your expectations of what you need that support with.
Absolutely. There's a vulnerability piece in that. I can always remember being younger and being told, I can't even remember who, it was either a close friend or a family member who genuinely just didn't think that I needed help. Because they said, but you always come across so competent. You're always getting on with stuff. I just assumed that you don't need that help. And I was really surprised, going, why on earth would you think that? Like, I need help less than everybody else does. So there is a vulnerability piece in that, absolutely, that says, I'm struggling with something, or I'm feeling overwhelmed right now, or I've just got too much on my plate, or I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? So I think you're absolutely right. If people think it's no biggie, or it's just a kind of a side comment, there's a different response to if you're reaching out and saying, I genuinely need some support right now. It shifts that level of priority for people. And then, yeah, you're more likely absolutely to have someone go, of course, or I can't do it right now, but let me make sure I make time for that later on.
And I know that Joe's just asked specifically for some help in terms when it comes to partners or husbands, often asking for things and not that don't tend to be done. And there's a few people I've spoken to about things like this, that sometimes we can't pass our expectations off in the same way to other people because they might be seeing things or prioritising things different to us. So I'd welcome your thoughts on that, Claire, because I think this is probably a conundrum in every household, no matter who you're living with, you know, house share or marriage or otherwise. And again, I think, you know, speaking from my experience, it might be not seeing all the jobs that have happened beforehand, and then that might be the thing that tips you over the edge. But that's for me rather than for him as an example. So, yeah, Claire, I'd love you to dive into that a little bit more.
Yeah, we can't expect everybody to see things the way we see things, or to do things the way we would do them. And that often trips people up. If you're wanting something to be done, then it's about sharing it, isn't it? It's about saying I can't do all these things myself, rather than it's how we approach it, how we ask for that help. But there's also a letting go of needing it then to be done in the way that we expect it to be done. So there's a difference. So it's breaking it down. Is it that nothing ever gets done when you ask for it to be done? Then I would go back and go, well, how is that being asked? How is it being understood? Like you say, is it being understood as a priority? Or is it not being seen? Or what's actually going on in that dynamic? Because it feels, when we get into that role of like, we're like almost sort of delegating these tasks all the time, but we're still the mental load carrier, then it's really different. Then it's almost as if somebody is doing us a favor, or we're being the naggy one going, why hasn't the washing up been done? Or why hasn't the laundry been done? Rather than going, this is a shared household group of tasks. How are we going to figure this out together? So I think it's about trying to come on side as a team together, going, we all need to have a role in this. It's not just me. Otherwise we go into the naggy parent role with our partners, don't we? Or we get put in that role very easily, and then it can feel really frustrating when things don't get done. But we also need to understand that maybe they won't get done in the same, exactly the same time frame that we would like it to be done, because maybe my husband prioritizes the need for the laundry to be done, true story, in a way that I'm happier to leave it a bit longer. So it's kind of knowing, what is it you really want? Is it that you want someone to just be a sort of copy of you and to crack on the way you would do things and be as efficient as you are? Or is it that you want some help and to let go of some tasks and say, you know what, I'd love it if you ran with this, if you thought about the meals for this week. And then what those meals are, or how you choose to plan it, that doesn't matter. It's about the end result of sharing the load. And that load isn't just for one person to carry, if you are fortunate enough to be in a house where there is more than one adult living in it.
Yes, good point. And I think that, you know, we had some conversations between me and my husband about getting the help of a cleaner, and he said, no, I'll wake up early, or we can wake up early, we can fit this in. And, you know, it took a while to kind of come around to the idea. And then for a period of time, we don't have one now, we did have a cleaner, and it was a case of, actually, I can't cope with this. I don't think you can either. And almost this understanding that actually neither of us at the moment have the capacity to do what we need to do at home. So let's find an alternative solution. And
not
so sometimes I think,
absolutely, yeah. We can delegate. That was the first piece of business advice I was ever given, was by a business coach, and she says this to everyone, and it's such sound advice. She goes, as soon as you can, get a cleaner. Because the more you can take those things off your plate, the more you can free up your time to either work on your business or the things that matter, or just to have some time to do the other life admin that needs to be done, or just to feel like there's one thing off my plate that I don't need to think about anymore. So I'm a
Yeah.
big fan of delegating wherever we can.
And it might be there's some other things to delegate or other ways. We work with an amazing person called Claire Delicious and Real, who helps with meal planning. So it might be that just changing another part then creates more time to be able to sort the other things that takes the pressure off somewhere else, and looking at that full picture. And as you say, seeing what other things can be refined or delegated in a slightly different way. But it's funny again having that conversation around asking for help and people not doing it. Actually, often I will always offer more help than I am able to give. And I then feel incredibly bad if I then haven't done something that I said I would. And often I will say to people, I will make that introduction, or I will do that thing for you, but please, please chase me. And I don't want you, in sincerity, I don't want you to think that I won't do it, because even if it's not immediate, it will happen, and make that really clear. Because I always want to create that help. But it's that thing of managing expectations. But yeah, sometimes having to reiterate that, because I don't want people to think that I'm the person who hasn't that. Michael's laughing now, because we always do it in our team calls. I'll often be like, right, what do I need to be held accountable for? What have I told you I was going to do but last week that I still haven't done? So what do I need to do now?
This is such a good point, because what we're doing usually as human beings is we're jumping straight to the stories in our heads about what we think is happening. So if we've had a conversation and you said, oh yeah, no, I've got a great contact for you, I will reach out and do that, and then I go, cool, Penny's doing that, off you go, I'm feeling happy about that, and then I wait and it doesn't happen, and then I wait a bit more, and then I start to build a story in my head that goes, well, she didn't follow through with what she said she would do. And I either create a story about you and what I think that means, but more often than not, I create a story about myself and whether or not, oh my God, probably she didn't think I was worth helping, or people always let me down. We go into these narratives when actually, yeah, if we could just check it out and go follow up and go, oh, you remember you said that, can I give you a little nudge on it? Or we can check it out and go, is it really okay for you to do that? I don't want you doing things that you aren't comfortable doing. Like we can sort of clarify whether or not the story in our heads is real, or whether there's something else going on. Because 9 times out of 10, it's just because people are busy, and things get. I don't know about you, but if I don't reply to a message on WhatsApp straight away, it's just lost in a whole stream of things. And then I go back and go, oh my God, I was supposed to do this thing for somebody weeks ago, and it's just gone. We're bombarded all the time with so much information. And communication that, yeah, having a little system of just politely following up and going, is it still okay to do that thing that you said you could help me with? But that takes a little bit of bravery, doesn't it, to put yourself out there and do it.
Absolutely. And I think, it's challenging. Sometimes the things that I might take the longest to respond with are because I'm really overthinking them. I really care about them. So sometimes it can have the opposite impact in terms of how it seems to the other person. But actually, just because I've been overthinking and I've been going down a rabbit hole, which if Michael's still listening, will know exactly what a penny rabbit hole looks and feels like. So then, again, the intent is there, but you're struggling to get out of your own way to be able to help someone.
And we never know what's going on with other people, but we assume that we do. So absolutely, it could be because they're trying really hard to do a good job for you. There's been loads of times when I've asked people, say, if they could do a testimonial for me, if I've done some work for them. Excuse me. And it takes, sometimes people do it straight away, other times it doesn't happen at all. Other times it takes ages, and sometimes it is just making it as easy as possible for someone to help you. So just going, like, literally a line. You don't need to write a whole lengthy thing. I don't want it to be a cumbersome thing for you to do that you're overthinking. Just make it as simple as possible to get that help that you need. And usually people are willing and able. There is also, though, a good point around that with expectations. We often do overpromise, and then we can't deliver, and then we feel bad. But again, that's understanding that that's about the other person's boundaries, about learning how to say no to something rather than a rejection of you necessarily. Sometimes it can just be that somebody wants with all the best intentions to help, but they've just overstretched themselves and overpromised. And we need to understand that then in a different context, and not take that as another reinforcement that we've been let down, or that there's something about us that means people don't want to help us.
That's a really good point. I know Sophia from Fine Tuned Wardrobe was here a bit earlier, and she'd asked me for a testimonial, which took me a long time to get there, but I did eventually. It was a bit of me going, I will do this, it's still on my list, or her saying, just want to remind you. But it's hard because there's different, you know, with other people, I might have said that and then they didn't feel confident enough to chase. And as you say, may have then made up a narrative or whatever. So that's where personality can really, really come into play. And also, I suppose, the type of relationship and communication that you have. But I'd love your thoughts, Claire, on how can we encourage other people to accept our help? Because surely there's a bit of a kind of cyclical thing here in terms of accepting help, giving help. Talk to us a bit about that.
Well, it's much easier to ask for help if you know that you are also giving that person help. So if I think about a lot of the day-to-day help that I ask for or give is around the school community because my daughter's still young. So I know that picking up the phone yesterday and ringing a parent and going, sorry, it's last minute, but are you on the way to school? Could you grab my daughter? It's much easier for me to do because I know I've done it for them X amount of time. So yeah, it does, when we have a loop where it feels like we are giving as much as we are taking, it's a more comfortable place to be. If there is somebody who consistently doesn't accept help, I guess it's different. If it's a client of yours versus someone in your personal life, it's different. It's a different dynamic. If it's somebody, I would kind of start by looking at, well, what's driving that want or need needs to get them to accept help, because it's everyone's sort of personal journey, isn't it? A little bit. So is it that it's a client you're working with that you're trying to get past a block and them asking for help would actually unlock a real change in their life? Then we can come at it with strategies about what's getting in the way, what are the barriers, what makes it so difficult, and try and understand where they're coming from with it. If it's someone in our personal life, then maybe it is about reflecting back. You know, I like to feel that I'm helping you. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel closer to you if I know that you'll ask me for help. And it's trying to encourage them in a supportive way to say it's okay. I would be welcoming of that request to ask for help. And just to break down some of those, because sometimes people feel a lot of shame around asking for help or a lot of worry about bothering somebody or troubling. So it's just reiterating that it's not I'd like to. It's just, you know, it makes me feel good when you ask me for help. It means that we're connected and that you know that you can reach out for me. Maybe you start by asking them to help you with something, and then there's a favor that can be repaid.
You know, I think it's sometimes even knowing that the help is out there that can be a really, really challenging blocker. Or thinking about how you might be able to ask for help in something that, you know, like thinking if you think you can't do it, well, would somebody else that you know within your group be able to do that as an example? And it's really interesting. My husband does a lot of DIY, something that I very much don't get involved with. And he goes onto YouTube because he doesn't necessarily have anybody else that he can kind of ask. So he uses YouTube in that way, and has certain people now that he kind of follows. And actually, there's a few people that he's been following that he will now direct message and say, you know, really love what you did, would like some more advice. And so sometimes I think it's, you know, kind of thinking outside the box a little bit in terms of how you can get that help, you know, where you can get it from. But it's really interesting that you're saying about this kind of, well, I'm going to help you and you're going to help me. My younger sister looked after my boys on Saturday, and my husband then went round on Sunday and had to, I say had to, offered to redo all of their light fittings. And so even though it wasn't kind of a like for like, actually they've massively helped us and the boys had a great time and we've then been able to help them. So I think it's sometimes, as I say, thinking outside the box in terms of where you can get help from and, you know, thinking, well, what am I going to be able to give? It might not even be instantaneous, right? It might be, well, there's a bit of an IOU, or I've done this for you, so make sure when you need me, you
Yeah,
know, and
you
even
are.
checking in to be like, what can I do?
Yeah, it's reciprocal then, and it feels good. There's a lovely comment from Clean to Keep saying, I always say I need to be needed. We feel good when we feel useful and of use to people. That we when we need, there is a closeness in that. So it is. It's reinforcing that, and absolutely being creative about what that could look like. So it's more of like we're going back to this kind of barter system of you help me with my kids, I can help you with something totally unrelated. We've always got things that we can trade, and there are always times when people need to ask for that help or get that help. We just want to create a culture, whether that's even a little subculture within your friendship group or your family or your community, your neighbours, So understanding that there's a barter system going on, and that, you know, my neighbour will come and feed my cat when I'm away, I'll offer to water their plants when they go away. Like, there's this, we just want to feel like it's, we're giving something back, and then it's so much easier to ask for that help.
Love that. So Claire, to wrap up, any final thoughts, perhaps a key tip or a quote that you want to share as we finish today?
I would say get out of your own way. I would say test it out. If you have had those experiences where you ask for help and you don't get it, I would go back to the drawing board and look at what's going on there, or are there, do I need to foster some other relationships where it feels reciprocal, like we've just talked about. But I think for the majority of people, the main thing that's holding them back is just that fear of asking and of being a burden or a nuisance to somebody. So I would say just test out whether or not that's true and put it into practice. Challenge yourself. Is there something small today you could ask for help with? And like you were just saying, be creative with it. It doesn't have to be a practical in-person help. It could be, are you stuck with something in your business that you can reach out to someone and go, I'm stuck with something on my website, or I'm stuck with, you know, find something. There's always something we can ask for help with that we need help with. And challenge yourself to just test out doing it and get out of your own way and give it a go and see what happens. But challenge yourself also to be mindful that if you don't get the exact response that you're expecting, to not spiral off into a load of stories or beliefs about why that is. So take that step back and be reflective about it and go, what worked really well and what can I learn from, and what can I understand in a different perspective that doesn't stop me from in the future asking for help? Like, it's a numbers game, isn't it? Often not everyone can help you all the time when you ask, and that's okay as well.
So true. It's really interesting. I was thinking as you were talking there that sometimes in the process of asking for help, I almost answer my own questions. So I think even just doing that first step can sometimes be super helpful.
Yeah, where can I get that help from? Then you start brainstorming, and then, yeah, absolutely, often you're like, well, I've figured that one out already. I don't need that help.
I love that. I love that. So Claire, if people want to find out a bit more about you and what services you offer, where should they head to?
I will pop my website in the comments if that's of help to people. It's claireflaxon.com, or you can just follow me over on Instagram, or I'm on LinkedIn as well. And if anyone's got any questions about this, they can just send me a direct message here on Instagram, and I will pick it up and answer it in the best way that I can.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Claire. Been absolutely lovely talking to you. I feel like we could go on. Well, I might have to do this again at some point, because I feel like there's lots more still to cover. But no, thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in or watching this back, and look forward to catching up with you soon. Have a good day.
Thanks for having me.
Bye. Bye.